Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. It may be a very familiar passage to you, the parable of the sower. But as we read it, don't let the familiar rob you of the treasure within. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever will be given more, and whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it."
Thanks, Sue. Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Thank you for having me to speak in the morning. I'm always really anxious about doing morning services, and I never sleep well the night before. So I've got my coffee here to perk me up. I shouldn't need it, though. The sermon should be enough. But I always find it a bit strange. I was speaking to some of the young people before, and they were asking why I didn't have a little blurb about what my message was about. And that's because we're kind of in... I use a bit of Latin, an interregnum, I guess. We're in a period where we've finished one sermon series and we're moving into the new year for something different. And the powers that be in church just kind of give you free rein to do whatever you want. And part of me hates that because I have to just choose something out of the Bible and it has to be relevant and hopefully speak to you this morning. And I've picked quite an odd passage. But hopefully... we'll learn something new, and hopefully it speaks to you this morning. And I'll begin in prayer, and then we'll get cracking. Heavenly loving Father, we thank you so much for bringing us to this place. We thank you for this time of year where we can reflect on the fact that you became a man, that you came and lived amongst us, that you taught us how to live, and that you died on our behalf. And we pray that your Holy Spirit may fill this place. We pray that you feel welcome today, and I pray that you might stir within our hearts something new. That as we look forward to the new year, you might be doing something new within us, both as individuals, but as a community as well, God. And I pray that this sermon might touch hearts and speak to us deeply. Not through my words, but through your words, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so as it says on the screen, I almost said slide, stories... are important. The past month we've been looking at a series called Celebrate His Story, all about the story of God coming down to earth as a man. We've had a month of celebrating God connecting with us. We've looked at how God comes and invades humanity with his story, and how each one of us, yes, even you in this room, 2,000 years later on, is still affected by what happened 2,000 years ago. That God broke into the world in human form. And as Sue has just read to us, we still read the stories of Jesus. As we have done this morning, we read the stories of people before Jesus in the Old Testament, and we read about the lives of those people who followed after Jesus and how they were still affected by him. People like Paul and Timothy, who started the early church. And tonight we will hear even more stories of how Jesus is alive and well in the lives of people in this very room. But here's a little story of mine. I was fortunate enough to go on a little jolly about a month ago. And I was in Manchester Airport at the beginning of the month. And I'd had a weekend away. And I was in the baggage carousel waiting for my bag. And you know what? It was the first bag off. And I don't know why you feel this, but there's a certain kind of arrogance and pride that your bag comes off first, even though you've done nothing to gain that status. So you swan off with your bag first. And as I'm walking out, I'm texting my parents to tell them that I've arrived and that I'm just waiting for them. And they were just on their way. And as I stuff my phone into my pocket, I look up and I see two people coming together and meeting. Now, I didn't immediately think anything much about this man and woman coming together and hugging, because in an airport, you kind of assume this happens a lot. People arrive and they're greeted by their family or their friends or lovers, and then they get their luggage and head for home or wherever it is that their destination may be. Now, the thing is, you or I do not know who this man and woman are. We don't know where they're coming from or who they're visiting or what has gone on or what is going on between them. It's just a man and a woman, and they're just embracing in an airport. Now, imagine that you do know something about them. I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios and you can choose any one of them. But imagine they're a husband and wife. And ever since she's young, she's had this dream of being an artist. And she's had this dream that she would do shows and her work would be sold in art galleries. But then she goes to university and she meets her future husband and they start having kids. And having a low-paid job, her husband says to her, you could really do with getting a job just to make ends meet. So now this couple are working long hours trying to raise their kids, to pay off debts, pay the mortgage, and now their oldest child needs glasses and their house needs new insulation. And you know what? Her dream is dead. But then on her 40th birthday, she wakes up and she has this profound sense of just despair that her life has made decisions on her behalf. And that's led her to the conviction that she's not been true to herself. And do you know what? She shares this with her husband. And he suggests that he will get a job in the weekend and evenings to help pay for her hobby. They'll clear out a space in the shed and she'll start a studio in there and she'll start painting and she'll get working again. And do you know what? That was 3 years ago. And now she's just got off the plane from London where she sold two pieces of artwork and she signed a deal with a gallery. And do you know what? They did it together. They both have this profound sense of shared sacrifice. And do you know what? They're exhausted, but they bonded together to make something happen. And there's so much joy between them, and it's just thrilled them as a couple for so many reasons. And as a couple, they're just overjoyed. And this moment is her coming back from London. Or perhaps you'd learn that this man and woman are actually brother and sister. She's been working in a hospital in Uganda for the past 3 years, and they've just found out that their father has cancer. He only has a few days to live. And so she's flown home, and there's so much that she wants to say to her father. And she meets her brother in the airport, and he picks her up, and they're headed straight for the hospital, where the family will be together for the first time in years. They'll have one moment to say goodbye to their father, and they both know that in this moment that they embrace in the airport, the rest of their lives will be unlike anything that they've ever experienced before. Or imagine that this man and woman are friends, that they've known each other for 15 years, that they went to the same school, the same college, the same university, and at various times they've dated one another's friends. And then 5 years ago, they moved to different sides of the country. And then, totally out of the blue, they just start writing letters to one another, actual pen and paper letters. And through these letters, a genuine love has started to grow. And they're both a bit wary because they've been burned by past relationships. She was engaged and her fiancé broke it off 4 weeks before the wedding. And he discovered that his girlfriend had been cheating on him. And so they decide that they wouldn't see one another for a year. They would just write letters during that time. And if, at the end of the year, they were still writing and still smitten with one another, then they'd meet up and see one another in person. And that's what happened. The letters have brought them together in extraordinary ways as their love has been building and building over the years, as they've shared more and more of their lives together. And now the year is up and she's come to visit. And he has a diamond ring in his pocket and she doesn't know. Now let's rewind to the beginning. You're there in the arrivals area of Manchester Airport, only now you know all this history. You can choose any of those scenarios. Now you know the background and context of these two people coming together. And you see her walking through the foyer towards him. How do you feel now? I mean, for me, that scene is instantly electric. Straight away, I'm kind of captured. I'm in the moment. I'm there. I'm watching with different eyes because I'm fully engaged in what's happening. I'm filled with anticipation of what's about to unfold. Why? Because I'm aware. Previously, you were cut off from the depth and you were separated from the stories of these people. But now you see and now you know and feel a number of things that you didn't previously. Your awareness has changed. And of course, that's everything from your perspective. Now let's introduce another character. Say you've got a friend called Dave, and Dave is with you, but he's been in the bathroom the whole time. And Dave appears just as this woman is approaching the man. And he starts going on about how he can't stand those new hand dryers that you have to dip your hands into. And then you have to wait for the air to turn on. It's not as efficient as normal paper towels. And why can't you just use paper towels? Because you still end up drying your hands on your pants anyway. And so he's coming out and he's like shaking his hands like this. And he goes, can you believe this? And you're like, shh, 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 shh. Because you're stuck in this moment as he's trying to tell you about his whole life story in the toilets. You're captured in this moment of this couple coming together and meeting. You can't take your eyes off them. You're glued to that scene in front of you. And you realize that you're actually fighting back a tear. And that's how important stories are. And God has a story in mind for you, and he set it in motion for each one of you. Some of you are at the beginning of that story. Some are nearing the end, unfortunately, whilst others of you may be ending a chapter and eagerly anticipating a new one unfolding. But right now, you might be kind of thinking, how is this fitting with the passage and that Sue read? And the story that I told. And the question that kind of ties it all together is, what is wrong with Dave? In truth, Dave misses the magic. He misses the backstory of what's happening. Because this is true of each one of us. This is the difficulty with journeying with God and with other people. We can get so consumed with what is happening in our own lives that we miss the greater picture of God at work. We miss the excitement and the joy that God can bring when we hear the news that God loves each and every one of us. And that should bring a joy our way. And in the passage that Sue read for us, Jesus sees this in his disciples after he tells them the parable of the sower. Because Jesus goes on after the parable that we heard to explain exactly what it's about. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. See, Jesus here reveals the secret to his disciples. The secret that he gives them is the key to the story in the parable, and they suddenly get it. So what can you say to Dave so that he gets it when it comes to the story of your life? And I want you to think about that question today, because that is the heart of this message. That's the one thing I want to focus on. And I cannot give you an easy answer. I cannot help you come to the best way for you to do this. I wish I could, but we all do it in our own different ways. Some people share testimonies. Others blog their adventures with God. Some people write an article in Heart magazine. Others share through prayer. Some serve. There are a myriad of ways in which you can let others know that God is impacting your life. And they're an onlooker. And they should see this. And you should be able to share your story of how God is impacting you. So how can those around you get the background of your story? This might be the story of Jesus 2,000 years ago. As you try and share with them something from the Bible, you might reveal a bit of scripture to someone and show them and tell them how loving God is. But there might also be a personal story there of Jesus at work in you today. And once you find the way to share your story with others, don't lose it, because it's so important that you have this excitement and this eagerness to say, this is how God is working in my life today. Because whilst you're caught up in the unfolding scene of God working in your own life, other people like Dave are oblivious to what's happening. And it might be right in front of them. So God has gathered us here today. I don't know specifically what purpose he's brought you here, but I do know that he longs for you to hear the word and understand it. And I don't mean you need to understand what I'm saying. It's not always that easy. But what you need to understand is God's deep love for you. That God wrote a story, and that's a story lasting thousands of years, and that uses people that you would never imagine doing things that you would never believe. And that still continues to this day. And this very same God has a story that he is still writing. And perhaps he's holding that metaphorical pen against paper waiting to write you a new chapter. As long as you say, I am willing, Lord. Paul, who was an early follower of Jesus, when he was writing to the early church, he said to them, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, and then he goes on. And I thought, that's such a beautiful phrase, that we are known by God. Because I believe that love is and always was that longing place inside our hearts to know God and be known by God. Because you are known by God, but how well do you know him in return? And how well do you know his story? The great story of him encountering us at Christmas time and the life he lived, but also the more personal story of him at work in your life. So have you missed your encounter with God this year? Because today is the day that you can say, actually, we're beginning a new year. And I want to begin that new year with a fresh encounter from God. I want to walk with him for 2014 and see what amazing things he brings my way. Today is that day where you can dedicate yourself to God again. And secondly, are you encountering others in the church? Do you feel like you're part of a loving community, or do you kind of feel on the fringe of this gathering? Because I would encourage you to come tonight and share or be inspired by the story of God and the people that are here within this community. You might just hear things that you wouldn't believe were happening, and it might bring you a fresh love for God to hear what God is doing in the lives of others. But finally, if you do one thing with this message, please meditate and pray and search yourself and ask both yourself and ask God, what has your journey with God been recently? And where are you heading for 2014? Because just as we started this message in the arrivals area of Manchester Airport, the next scene of your life could be in a metaphorical or a literal departures lounge, where God is calling you away from comfort, security, and certainty on a brand new adventure. Because I don't always want to come to this church for some nice music and a cup of coffee and to listen to myself speak, because I can do two of those three things to put myself to sleep. I want to come here to hear bold, exciting stories of people who are doing adventurous things, news of people being healed and restored by God. I want to hear about people who are making a difference because God has made a difference in their lives. People who love God and know that they are loved, and they love God immeasurably in return. I long for a church that celebrates how God is doing new things out there, and they can bring that in here in their rejoicing. And I think that we do. And I want to thank each one of you, because I think we are a community that can celebrate the goodness of God. But we can always ask, we want more of you, God. We can always say, God, let's see more of you at work. So the question is, as the prophet Isaiah said, will you be ever hearing but never understanding? Will you be seeing but never perceiving? For people hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ears, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn. And God would restore them. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you so much for your word, and thank you that it can teach us and inspire us in new and dynamic ways. And God, I just come and humbly pray for all the times that we may have forgotten you or turned away from you in this past year. For all the times we've gone our own way. And Lord God, I pray that right at this moment we could refresh ourselves, that we could turn to you and say, God, I want to live for you in 2014. I want it to be a year where I see more of you at work, and I pray more than ever, and I read your word, and I seek you day after day. And God, I pray that we might hear stories and we might share stories of wonderful things happening within these walls and outside them too. Gracious God, we thank you that you love each one of us, and we pray that we might see more of you at work in our lives and in our community for your glory. Amen.